I'll actually take a show of hands. How many of you, when you have started a new job, one of the things they give you on the day of orientation is this, it's a little booklet, sometimes it may be a big booklet. It's usually about the history of your company or something like that. Has anybody received one of those when they've started? Okay, several of you. So, as most of you know, just recently I started working for a company called Cintas. If you're not familiar with what that is, you can talk to me about it later. But nevertheless, they are just like many other companies in that regard, where they give you this little booklet. And what has happened in the past with those is they either find themselves on a shelf collecting dust and they've never been touched after orientation day, or they find themselves in the trash because I don't have any use for them. But recently, as part of being a newer employee in leadership at my particular location, all of new leadership have to do a presentation on what they gained or gleaned from the reading of that book. And I'm thinking, oh great. So I gotta sit and I gotta read this book about this drab, dry history of another company. What made their book different though was that it was not focused on the history of the company. The name of the book is called The Spirit is the Difference. And what the book focuses around is the company culture and the meaning behind their culture. If you're not familiar with Cintas, Cintas is very, very proud of their culture as a company. They consider it their competitive advantage, so to speak, over all of their competition. Their employees, the way that their employees treat each other, the way their company was founded based on this culture, that is what sets them apart from everyone else. And so I went ahead and I read the book and I got my little presentation together. And as I was sitting there getting those points together, I realized that there was a lot of spiritual application that could be drawn from what I was reading, what I was pulling out of that. And so I want to share a couple of things with you tonight from that. In the first section of the book, one of the first things that they bring out is this quote that says, "Our culture is no accident." This brings about the idea that this culture that they've created, that they've cultivated, it's intentional. It's not by mistake. It's not a lucky break. It is something that they have designed with a purpose. And that kind of got me thinking that, you know, as Christians, we are designed for a purpose. We are called via a purpose. If you want to open your Bibles with me tonight, our first scripture is in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So it speaks to the idea that God has a purpose for us as his servants. And that purpose is what we live for. It's what we work for in this life. Another passage that came to mind was Acts chapter 20. And in verse 24 it says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. This is Paul speaking to the elders in Ephesus, talking about how he has realized that all of these things are not, he doesn't count them to himself. It is his purpose to share the joy and the ministry of the gospel to others. And that is his purpose in life. Another quote from the book that stuck out to me was this idea of positive discontent. Has anybody heard that phrase before, positive discontent? Well, the idea behind positive discontent is we're always striving to be better, but we're not satisfied with better. We're striving to be better than our competition. But even if we're better than our competition, there's still things we could do that are even better. We're never satisfied with where we are. And that's a biblical idea and a biblical principle as well. Romans chapter 12 in verse 10 talks about this idea. It says, For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Well, I think I actually got the wrong. Oh, I'm in chapter 10. That would be helpful. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. So I think that's this is a different translation, but in the translation that I looked up, it said that he's telling the brethren in the Roman church to excel in their love to one another, to constantly get better with the way that they're treating each other, the way that they're bringing about that brotherly kindness. Also, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, the idea is brought up similarly. Ephesians 4:15, is that right? Yes. Says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So here he's talking to the Ephesians about how some have been set up to be apostles and prophets and evangelists. But each one of us is a member of the body, and each one of us has a purpose. But for us to culminate in what we're striving to be, and that is Christ-like, each member of the body must work to grow in whatever way possible. And that's the idea that's brought up there in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And the third idea I want to share with you tonight is a quote that I almost overlooked. But after I went back and read through the book a second time, I realized that this was something that I wanted to bring out. And the quote says, part of our character is the humble realization that leaders do not know it all. I don't want to necessarily focus on the leader portion, but more of the humble realization portion. I think all of us have been in a situation where we realize we're in over our heads, or that we don't have an answer. And it takes a certain level of humility to admit that, to find someone who may have the answer, or someone who may have gone through what's overwhelming us, to reach out to them and say, hey, I'm wrong, or I don't have the answer. Can you help? And ultimately, this is the attitude that God wants for all of us, not only as Christians, but every human being in his creation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, He's talking to the children of Israel here. And verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." God also gives us that same promise, that same assurance. And it's discussed in the book of James, particularly James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Further on down in verse 10, it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." To conclude, God's purpose for you is no accident. God wants you to be his servant. He wants to use you to spread the good news that all can be saved through his son, Jesus Christ. And that is his purpose for your life. He wants you to have an attitude of positive discontent. He wants you to strive all the time, each and every day, to be better, to be more caring, to be more loving, to be more respectful, to be better servants to him, and to be better at bringing the gospel to others. And if you are a servant of his in your life, and you're overwhelmed, or you've strayed off the track, and you need to have an attitude of humbleness to come back to him, he's waiting for you. All you have to do is ask. And if you're in the audience tonight and you've not chosen to follow Christ, but you're looking for a purpose in life, you're looking for something to work towards, to live for, Christ has that for you. That is the purpose that he wants for everyone.